Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting session of Lambda Test Experience Series. I'm your host Kavya, Director of Product Marketing at Lambda Test, and it's a pleasure to have you all with us today. We have got a truly fascinating topic today in our discussion, which is on art of testing LLM models. Before we dive in, let me introduce you to our guest on the show, Vyasraj Padukandla, Practice Head of Digital Assurance at Canalys. For over two decades, Vyas has been at the forefront of QA transformation initiatives. He's led major testing efforts across multiple industries by embracing cutting-edge technologies, driving processes, as well as re-engineering and building capabilities across teams. In today's session, we are going to unpack a variety of critical themes, starting with why testing LLMs is non-negotiable if we want our AI systems to be reliable and responsible. So before we get started, let me hand it over to Vyas so that he can walk us a bit and share about his journey in quality assurance space. Vyas, over to you.
Thanks, Kavya. Thanks for introducing me. Hello, folks. So my name is Vyasraj. I'll popularly go as Vyas in my friends and peer circle. I have 20 plus years of experience in various areas of software industry, particularly 20 years in software testing field with enormous experience in testing ERP, product, and ISV across the different domains such as the banking sector, financial sector, capital markets, and healthcare and supply chain management. In Canarys, I have been working with Canarys for last 3 years, and I'm heading as a Canarys practice, digital assurance practice with a headforce of 50 plus resources. And we have about 15 ongoing projects within all domains. We also offer the solutions as well as services in software testing industries. And I'm leading the transformation of digital assurance in terms of from the traditional testing to AI-driven testing. That's the exciting part that I'm handling at the Canarys currently. So that's a smaller brief introduction about myself.
Thank you, Vyas. That's pretty impressive career and journey that you've had in the testing
Thank you.
space. Yeah, I'm sure that you would be able to bring in a lot of that insights into today's conversation. So
Yes.
let's start with the first question itself, which is basically what makes testing LLMs fundamentally different from testing traditional software applications?
So the biggest difference, what we can say in testing the LLMs than the traditional software or regular testing is the scope. In regular testing, you can draw a scope, whereas in LLM testing, there is no scope. It will be difficult to draw a line and say this is the scope of the testing because of its challenges. It's a different nature. It's different, catering the services, different generative answers. So it is always 30 to 40% more complex in terms of testing than the regular testing. So this is about the high level. But when we are talking about the areas where the testing is going to be a difference, is that regular testing is nothing but your deterministic testing, where you know what should be the output. You always can determine the outputs of the regular testing. Whereas in LLM testing, it is a probabilistic testing. The outputs may vary across the different runs, making the reproducibility and the test cases validation very difficult. That is one area. Another area, what we can say is that the defining the correctness. When we are saying a defining the correctness, in regular testing, we know that 2 plus 2 is equal to a 4. That is the correct validity we can say. When we are executing any test cases with an output saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, and if we output is 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, then we can say this is correct. But it is not the case with LLM. The LLMs will have multiple valid answers, making it hard to define the correctness only objectively. So that is the biggest another difference. What I can say, it's a difference and a challenge also to define the testing, between the LLMs and regular testing. Another testing is that about how much of we can use automation and how much we can use human value evaluation. In regular testing, the test cases can be automated with the clear assertions, but In LLM testing, the human in the loop evaluation for coherence, relevance, and bias assessment is pretty much required. That is one area where LLM is different than the regular testing. Handling the edge cases is another area where it differs. Edge cases are all predefined in the systematically generated in the regular test cases. I mean, systematically tested in the regular testing. Whereas in LLM testing, they are often discovered dynamically since the language inputs are infinite in variations. So that is one area. As I said in the beginning, test coverage is another biggest area, so which is already discussed about. And debugging and root cause analysis in regular testing involves the tracing logs, fixing the broken logic, or debugging the code execution. But in LLMs, errors are harder to pinpoint since the model works for a black box with no explicit logic path. So these are some of the differences with regular testing as well as the LLM testing. There are many others, but these are the high-level or important ones which can be considered.
Thank you so much, Vyas, for breaking that down. I think it has become pretty clear for our audience how essentially is testing LLM different from traditional software applications. And as you were saying it, I was also making note of it, that how, what are the kind of challenges that you sort of face? And as you said, it's more than challenges, it's the differences between the two type of testing. That's basically
the challenge is in identifying what is the difference between the both. Because in the scenarios, it appears like both are same.
Yeah.
But when we are on the front, when we are in the battlefield, the difference, what we make out is different. Pause it.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And also what is interesting for me is what you mentioned about how it is important to keep humans in loop when we have to automate LLMs. Whereas when you are automating regular test cases, right, that's pretty much automated. So this question about AI and humans coexisting, right? I mean, that is basically been answered through this question itself.
Right, right.
Great. And, moving on to the next question, which is based on these challenges, right? What framework do you recommend for creating a comprehensive LLM testing strategies from scratch?
Yes. See, the LLMs are differed. Usage of LLMs are differing from a company to company, organization to organization, and business need to business need. So having said that, the framework can also be a unique according to the needs for each and every organization, every team, every type of application they work on. Having said that all these requirements will keep on changing from organization to organization, application to application, domain specific, applications nature specific, everything. My recommendation would be any framework which is built on five pillars. But our framework should have a scope, a purpose, and a scope defined. When I'm saying a purpose and scope defined, what is an objective of this whole framework that should use case identification? What should be my success criteria rate? Is it thresholds? So when I'm saying threshold, is it a factual accuracy threshold? Has hallucination threshold, bias threshold, all these threshold has to be clearly defined in our framework. And what types of testing is required in this frame for testing any application? For example, functional, non-functional, adversarial, as well as exploratory testing or performance testing, etc. And other than this, what kind of domain I'm catering? For example, if I'm building my application using LLMs for medical field, whether my LLM is HIPAA compliant or not.
Yeah.
If I'm creating any data sensitive information, whether it is a GDPR component or not, or if I'm building any AI regulations, whether my LLM is catering the HIPAA compliance according to the nation. For example, if I'm talking about US. In US, for example, let's say I'm talking about California customer, whether it is going to use the California specific compliances or not. So these kind of purposes has to be clearly defined in the testing framework before we commence the framework. That is first. The second part would be a creation of test dimension matrix. What is this test dimension matrix? These dimensions are nothing but the areas which you are going to test in your LLM. For example, functional is one dimension. Accuracy is one dimension. Safety and ethics is one dimension. Security, performance, UX, user experience, all these are the dimensions. And these dimensions should be clearly defined what is your testing focal point. For example, if the functional testing is there, then what kind of testing focus should be? It should be on prompt outputs, logic flows, basic correctness. If accuracy is a dimension which you are testing, the tester focal point should be factual correctness, how hallucinations are being treated over there. So all these things has to be connected. That is how we have to build up all our test dimensional matrix based upon our application requirements. Okay. Then the third is that infrastructure and the tooling. What type of infrastructure and tooling? What kind of prompt testing tooling I have to use it? Whether I'm going to use it open source, or I'm going to build it my own prompt tooling, or I'm going to use the licensed versions. Then what about my automation pipelines? How am I going to integrate my pipelines with our automation, continuous integration and continuous development? What about the version control? How am I tracking my prompt and model versions? What is an evaluation dashboards such as a KPIs to track what is my hallucination rates? What is my toxicity rates? What is my latency rates? All these things to be defined well in advance. Then what are my evaluation methodologies, whether it is a quantitative metrics, human evaluation, or a feedback loop, or A and B testing. So these are the evaluation method. And then last but not the least, the governance modernization. What should be the audit logs? How audit should be happen? What should be my drift detection? And what is prompt of regression testing? What is my compliance checks with respect to specific compliance authorities or with specific area AI regulations? So all these things should be documented well before we start testing the AIs.
Thank you so much, Vyas. I think that absolutely gives us more clarity on how to approach when it comes to creating that strategy in itself, right? And I think we have to, in conclusion, it's like we have to take care of multiple, aspects, including the functional aspects, the challenges, in fact, as you mentioned, right? Thinking about those adversarial related challenges that would come in, and ensuring that you're creating a more robust system in place, or like a foundation in place before you tackle it further. Yeah. Moving on to the next question, how frequently should LLMs be retested after deployment, and what triggers should prompt additional testing in itself?
So basically, this frequency that depends from the type of application, how frequently your application is getting upgraded, how frequently you are modifying, models, how frequently you are introducing new prompts into LLMs, how frequently you are upgrading or enhancing your safety and ethical considerations. So all these things will matter. But typically what we suggest here is that it should be a daily or a CI pipeline, continuous integration pipeline frequency. The reason for this is that we can perform a smoke test of the critical prompts such as basic sanity, toxicity, and latencies, etc. These kind of things can be tested on daily basis so that we can test it and we can fix that issue. And next thing, frequencies, they should be a weekly or bi-weekly depending upon your frequency of your modifications, prompt to rig. No, this to have your regression shoot to be tested, to test your drift detection, and how you frequently you track your hallucination, so that it is better to perform these kind of iterations weekly or bi-weekly. And in monthly iterations, we generally suggest to test accuracy, fairness, performance, prompt effectiveness, all these things. And quarterly, it would be basically on, audit and compliance checks. So these are the frequencies that we generally suggest. But other than these frequently, there will be a certain event-triggered, frequencies, we can set frequencies. So whenever there is an update to the model, that at that time we can perform a full testing. Whenever there is a changes to our prompt and the instruction changes, then we can do a changes. Whenever we add a dot data or a knowledge base updates, for example, when we are adding a pre-trained data to our LLMs and everything, that time it is a good time to perform a testing for whole LLM models. And whenever we see a performance degradation, and I'm saying a performance degradation, when you ask for a question to the LLM and when you key in a prompt, and it is taking a lot of time for you, then you see that performance degradation has happened. So that is the time where we can plan for a robust performance testing, and we can come up with the metrics and we can fix that, the challenges, what has been arised. And frequently we can do it for whenever we want to do a security compliance events. So these are the regular frequencies where we can keep on our LLMs testing with the various tools, techniques, and matrices for our evaluation.
Thank you so much, Vyas. And what techniques work best according to you when it comes to identifying and mitigating biases in LLM test data sets?
Okay. So there are many techniques which we can adopt, and techniques cannot be, it is not something predictive. It will be changing from the time to time or from the context to context. But broadly in LLM testing, what we perform is that one technique such as that bias audits using probing prompts. For example, when we are testing any gender kind of thing, for example, we ask nurse, the nurse said kind of thing, the race and ethnicity test we can perform, socioeconomic statuses, nationality, release and disability, etc. All these prompts can be audited using, manual intervention kind of thing. And the next technique what we can adopt is representation analysis. Basically, this is a quantitatively check for a demographic coverage and distribution of geography, gender, age, and cultural attributes to test it. And another important technique what we can do is the disparate output evaluation. That is one which we can do that. And then toxicity and bias scoring tools. These are some important thing is the crowdsourced. Nowadays, crowdsourced and SME review is one of the important technique, because what happens in crowdsourced, it will get a lot of ideas, lot of context into the testing board when we approach for the crowd. So that would be a good technique to test our LLMs. But of course, it would be a practically a little bit complex in handling the testing of this technique, but it is one of the good technique method measures that can handle it properly.
So that definitely gives us a lot of insights into how you can sort of mitigate the biases in itself. Moving on to the next question, what level of test automation is realistic for LLM testing today, and which aspects still require human judgment? I think you primarily covered it in a way. Yeah.
So this is very controversial question, because many industry people says that everything can be automated, but I differ with that context. Particularly not only in LLMs, but even in the conventional or regular testing aspects also, everything cannot be automated. But in LLMs, yes, automation is having certain limitations. We can automate those areas where we can do a repetitive job, or it can be done without manual. For example, regression testing. Regression testing can be automated, as well as the toxicity, bias, safety scanning. These can be automated. Latencies, particularly when we are testing the performance testing, the latencies, token usages can be automated. And formatting for conventional user, for example, when you are validating any JSON files or XML files in terms of formats. So these formats can be automated because they will not be differing anything. So these are some of the areas where we can automate. But still, there are many areas where automation is not possible. So those areas are nothing but factual accuracy. When I'm saying factual accuracy, accuracy means it's about testing the hallucinations. Hallucinations, we cannot really automate it. It has to be tested with the human intelligence and human manual only. Then fluency, coherence, and tone. For example, if my tone is not correct, that cannot be automated using automation scripts. It has to be done using manual intervention or any recording type of thing, which can be used in a different tones, especially for when I'm talking about phonetic languages like Mandarin kind of thing. So that cannot be automated. It should be manually only. Then third thing is that ethical and cultural sensitivity. These are the areas, creative use cases like storytelling, copywriting, and these are the areas we can do that. The thumb rule is that we can automate any areas which are quantitative, repeatable, scalable checks. And we cannot automate those areas which have qualitative, contextual, and ethical reviews to the humans.
Understood. That makes a lot of sense. Yes. And I think it is also something that our QE leaders out there listening to this can also sort of implement within their organizations.
Right.
How should, testing protocols be designed to specifically identify potential ethical issues in LLM outputs?
Okay. See, designing the testing protocols to identify the ethical issues in LLMs outputs requires moving beyond a traditional QA into the space that combines socio-technical awareness, socio-design, and human review. Okay. Having said that, there are three core principles to ethical LLM testing protocols. One is context is the king. Second is inclusivity. And third is beyond correctness. When I'm saying context is the king, an output can be ethical in one use case, but cannot be in other use. So the context here drives the same output. In some cases, it will be a right. Some cases, it is not right. Okay, that is why we say context is the king over there. Inclusivity. Testing must account to the diverse identities, background and of different, authenticity and cultures. Third is that beyond correctness, not just right. It is right. It is safe, respectful, and fair. So these are the core principles on which the testing protocols should be defined. Any protocol, the protocols can be, based upon, again, the applications and everything. But these are three main core principles on which the protocol. But in my recommendation, when I have said that, so how can I define my protocols? Okay. Now define the ethical risk categories. That is one protocol. Design the diverse probing prompting sets. That is another protocol based on that one. Use adversarial testing. That is another protocol which we can use. Apply a biases and toxicity scoring tools. That is another protocol. Human review panels. So these are the important protocols which can be applied on the three core principles, contextual principles, which I was discussing about.
Thank you, Vyas. That definitely, throws a lot of insights. And, on the same question itself, just wanted to ask a follow-up question. How should organizations or quality engineering teams align LLM testing practices with emerging regulatory requirements around AI reliability?
See, it is very important that every company or every team aligns with the LLM testing practices with emerging AI regulations, because it has to build the trustworthy, accountable systems that are ready for the legal scrutiny and market expectations and ethical responsibilities. So if you want to build your testing for organizations to align with the testing practices, there are certain, kind of practices that we need to follow. One such practice is that map your testing strategy to your AI risk categories. Create risk categories in your organization based upon the domains, based upon the application, what you develop, and map that category testing strategy to that risk category. That is one's best way. Another good practice is to integrate the testing into AI quality management systems, which is similarly to an ISO 9001 management. You can tailor-made your quality management systems. That is how we have done in our organization. We are a ISO 9001 certified companies, and we do a regular audits, QMS audits for all our internal projects and services and solutions what we offer. Now for AI testing activities, we have added some of the question is by picking up in alignment with all the AI regulations, have added, we have tailor-made our QMS audit practice, audit question is in a such a way that we can cater for audit AI tools also. That is one way. Align with your regulatory testing requirements. This is one of the best practices that we can adopt. Include a specific testing for a compliance area such as bias, fairness, sustainability, transparency, robustness, reliability, data privacy. All these things can be, these are some of the best practices which can be adopted for any team or any organization for, you know, kind of building the testing practices for testing LLMs.
Thank you so much, Vyas. That definitely helps. And it does, you know, it was also an interesting question primarily because a lot of teams are currently, you know, just starting to test LLMs, right? So they haven't started thinking about how to sort of the regulatory aspects of it, right? They haven't started thinking about it. So good that we discussed that today.
To answer that question, whatever we are discussing now is just a starting point.
Yep.
This is a starting step that we can take, and based upon our application requirements, based upon our business requirements, we can go. There is no thumb rule that we should follow this one only. That depends upon the organization to organization, circumstances to circumstances, domain to domain, how we are adopting it, all these things, which is the best way for us. So this can be used as a stepping, first step in that direction.
Yep, absolutely. And moving on to the next question, how should organizations structure their teams to effectively handle LLM testing responsibilities?
So it is again very, very subjective to every organization, how they want to, because every organization will have their own roles and responsibilities, hierarchies defined, everything. Okay, but if you ask me, my suggestion would be what we follow here. My suggestion would be structuring the LLM testing requires a multidisciplinary agile approach that blends the traditional QA with AI expertise. That is what we are not deviating from our traditional QA, but we are adding our traditional QA with our AI expertise. That is the best way. So based upon that, what I can say is that we need to have a test architect role. This test architect role is coupled with the traditional testing as well as with the AI concepts, so that he can bring up the AI testing concepts and he can introduce the AI testing and LLM testing methodologies or LLM testing, everything in one thing. That is one area. Then prompt engineers. This prompt engineer's responsibility here, what we have is that they design the prompt test cases, regression test prompts, variants, everything. That is their responsibilities, and they will use it, do it while they're testing. The data QA analyst, that is one area. AI and ML engineers build or integrate the evaluation tools. So that is one thing. So another role is that we have a set of reviewers who will do ethics and fairness reviews. Their responsibility is that quality, they conduct qualitative review for bias, stereotyping, safety, tone, and inclusivity. That is one thing. It is completely a manual role. And something, it is a domain SME. For example, if we are building any product or if you are building any application for a healthcare city, a healthcare or a BFSI or anything, we'll have a domain expertise who can give us more domain knowledge in terms of coming up and developing up our training of the data, pre-trained data for our LLMs kind of thing. And of course, a compliance and risk officers. So this would be, you know, kind of an ideal team. But again, if you have any bandwidth, then you can go for a red team, which are adversarial team members, which can probe into your model weaknesses via prompt injections. So these are the team structure that I would recommend to have for any organization or any team who want to start with, you know, LLMs testing.
Super insightful, Vyas. Thank you so much for sharing those tips and insights for the quality engineering managers who might be listening in. And we are on to the last question of the day, which is, what final advice would you give to organizations that are just beginning to implement rigorous LLM testing practices?
See, LLM or AI is new in the market, and we don't know what is the depth and breadth of that subject. So we cannot really fix a boundary. So what we have is that, let's start small. Let's do small, start and then we gradually increase it. So in this process, you will learn, you will automatically identify where are the areas, how to go, how we can approach, how we can penetrate, and how we can expand our testing ability, all these things. So my take would be to go with do a small start, but build a scalable foundations. It is very, very important to build a scalable foundations. Otherwise, once we grow big, our processes, our foundations may not support for the scalability. That's one thing. It should be a general, again, it's going to be a general subject. That's not specific to any AI or LLM testing team. Make it a team sport where all people work together, track what matters, keep regular introspections, align with the regulatory and ethical standards, keep top on the regulatory enhancements or changes that are happening to the market or industry. So by that way, you can build all your organizations or teams in the LLM testing practices in the right direction.
Thank you so much, Vyas. That's been super enlightening, answer as well as the session as a whole. It also helps that you have so much insights to share, not just on testing LLMs, but also how teams can actually function and utilize and implement the strategies in place, right? And of course, the real world strategies that you have shared to navigate the challenges and reflections on how AI ethics can also give us so much to think about. It's a lot for the team. Yeah.
Yeah. Testing LLMs and artificial intelligence is very, very huge and enormous topic. And we cannot dwell everything within a short span. So I covered what are the important aspects which needs to be addressed, which can be taken. Doesn't mean that whatever I said is just that, that's it. There is enormous to that. So whenever you have any questions, feel free to ask me. I'm here to answer all your questions. And thanks, Kavya, for giving this opportunity and for taking me on this one and asking me the questions. In fact, this has really helped me to revisit my knowledge, to revisit my approach on testing the LLMs. And a couple of points has definitely have added after having this to my knowledge base, after having these sessions. So it was nice sessions and nice discussion with you, Kavya. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Vyas. And to everyone who joined us, thank you for being a part of the XP series. As Vyas mentioned, you can definitely get in touch with him. We'll be sharing his LinkedIn profile as well with you so that you can stay in touch and ask him any questions that you might have. We hope you found this as informative and engaging as we did. Stay tuned for more episodes where we continue to explore how testing, innovation, and engineering excellence intersect. Until next time, take care and keep testing. Thank you so much once again, Vyas. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kavya. Thank you all. Bye-bye.